Wisconsin U.S. Senator Ron Johnson is leading Republican opposition to President Donald Trump's massive tax and immigration bill. It's Wednesday, May 28th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, the Wisconsin Supreme Court is suspending a Dane County judge, and hundreds of nurses have officially started to strike at a major hospital in Madison. Stay with us.
Current and emerging issues with a decidedly Wisconsin point of view.
We're putting the spotlight and sharing the stories and inspiration from the people making a difference in their communities.
My supreme hope is that this book is part of a greater mission to improve the health of women across the country.
Some people are crying out because they need somebody just to be nice. Don't judge, nudge, and push them forward.
Wisconsin Today, weekday mornings at 9 on WPR News.
A small group of Republican senators is criticizing a federal budget bill, which is a cornerstone of President Donald Trump's agenda. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, Wisconsin's U.S. Senator Ron Johnson is leading the defectors.
Wisconsin's Republican congressmen were united in backing what Trump calls the Big Beautiful Bill. They support its changes to tax policy and expanded immigration enforcement. But their Wisconsin colleague in the Senate, Ron Johnson, has been outspoken in opposition. He says it still spends too much and adds trillions to the deficit. On CNN over the weekend, he called for a return to pre-pandemic spending levels.
We have to reduce the deficit, and so we need to focus on spending.
Johnson says he has enough Republican allies to tank the proposal, which has no Democratic support. Wisconsin's Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin is also outspoken in opposing the bill because of its cuts to Medicaid. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Wisconsin Elections Commission says small communities do not need permission to stop using electronic voting machines. In a 5-1 decision yesterday, commissioners decided the Rusk County town of Thornapple did not break state law when it switched to hand-counted paper ballots last year. Republican Commissioner Bob Spindell agreed with the staff legal analysis and said communities with less than 7,500 people need to have flexibility.
We need to allow these very, very small communities to do what they need to do. And if they have the machines and they decide they don't like them and they spend a lot of money on them, and they decide not to use them, that's their problem to justify on the money.
Tuesday's vote does not affect previous orders by the Elections Commission and a federal judge requiring Thornapple to make at least one accessible voting machine available to people with disabilities. The town is appealing that federal ruling. A Dane County judge will be barred from hearing cases for 7 days, and the Wisconsin Supreme Court says that she violated rules of professional conduct. Sarah Lear has the details.
The unpaid suspension comes after Wisconsin justices determined that Judge Ellen Burrs failed to treat people in her courtroom with courtesy and impartiality. They cited a couple incidents. In one, Burrs ordered her bailiff to arrest a defendant who didn't show up for court. After learning the man was in the emergency room, Burrs threatened to bring him to court herself and started driving to the hospital. In the other instance, Burrs got into a sarcastic argument with the defendant and said she suspected his request to delay his trial was a, quote, ruse. Marquette Law Professor Chad Oldfather says it's relatively rare for a judge to be suspended in Wisconsin.
For something to get to that point, you got to be dealing with fairly serious and legitimate accusations.
Burrs' attorneys declined to comment. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Hundreds of nurses walked off the job at a Madison hospital yesterday. The nurses, who are represented by SEIU Wisconsin, are striking against Unity Point Health Meritor Hospital. They say the walkout follows months of contract negotiations that have failed to lead to an agreement. A statement from Meritor says the strike began at 6:30 yesterday morning. The healthcare company says it had visiting nurses covering patient care, and the hospital remains open. Strikers are picketing outside the hospital. Meritor's urging patients to avoid their Chandler Street entrance and says the emergency department and main entrances are still fully accessible. More than 930 nurses from the hospital are represented by the union. They say negotiations have focused on staffing levels and patient safety. The union is planning on a week-long strike. A proposal to hold Wisconsin's inland trout opener a month earlier is reeling in support. As Danielle Kading reports, most people backed the move in annual spring hearings hosted by the Wisconsin Conservation Congress and Department of Natural Resources.
The Wisconsin Conservation Congress and DNR hold hearings every year to give the public a chance to weigh in on proposed changes to wildlife or fishing regulations. More than 9,000 people took part this year. Scott Lumens with the DNR says participants supported moving the opening day of the regular trout season from early May to the first Saturday in April.
Currently, fishing is allowed, but it's catch and release, and we have no reason to think that we can't support more use of that resource.
The Wisconsin Council of Trout Unlimited didn't take a stance on the proposed changes, although some members were concerned about overharvest. Lumen says the regulations will be considered at the Natural Resources Board meeting in June. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Some municipalities in Wisconsin are partnering with a company that creates an online directory to help people find affordable housing. The city of Kenosha began working with the company CityWise last October. They created a directory on the city website where people can find properties that accept low-income housing tax credits and Section 8 vouchers. The listings include any municipal code violations for the properties. Five other Wisconsin municipalities have since signed on to similar partnerships. The directory will also soon be available in Milwaukee County. County Supervisor Jack Ekblad said that he hopes the tool will help connect more people to affordable housing.
So our goal is more access, more resources to anyone with a smartphone or even just access to a public library.
More than 7,500 people have used the website in Kenosha. Coming up, we've got Wisconsin Life. Today we'll hear a story about a reflection on a work of art created in childhood. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on, and in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about a very special childhood creation.
It can be really sweet to look back on art projects you created in kindergarten. Maybe it's a finger painting or a stick figure portrait of your family. For John Klugness of Bayfield, he treasures a wooden corner shelf he made, a work of art he's had for about 90 years.
One of my earliest and most important memories is of building a wooden sidewalk with my dad in the summer of 1937, just before I turned 5 years old. We had recently moved from a rented house with no basement near Hammond Park, a house my mom disliked because she said she could see the ground through the floorboards. Mrs. Rahm, originally from Olesund, Norway, had helped her find our new home, an upstairs flat where we would live for the next decade. The apartment building was owned by a widow, Mrs. Lindbergh. My parents discussed repairing the wooden sidewalk that ran from the front of the apartment to the back on our side. With Mom's encouragement, Dad took me with him to discuss the sidewalk with Mrs. Lindbergh. Dad, unemployed at the time, offered to do the labor for free if she would cover the cost of the materials. I remember walking to Wilcutt's lumberyard with Dad. He had a wonderful sense of humor. As we approached the lumberyard, he adopted an exaggerated, comical Norwegian accent and quipped, "Vi vil cut wood." Shortly after, the lumber nails were delivered, and we got to work. We tore out the old sidewalk, and I became Dad's full partner in measuring, cutting, and nailing the slats. The new sidewalk went up quickly and looked grand compared with the broken gap-toothed one we replaced, and I felt such confidence knowing I could build a wooden sidewalk. That fall, I started kindergarten at the McCaskill Training School attached to the Superior Normal School for Training Teachers. The student teacher presented us with an assortment of wooden fruit boxes, fabric scraps, telling us we could make whatever we wanted as Christmas gifts for our families. A bathroom cabinet from a peach crate, a painted cigar box for jewelry case. But none of that interested me. I was a carpenter with bigger ambitions. When the teacher asked what I wanted to make, I declared I would build a corner shelf like the one my mom had recently admired at a relative's house. I insisted it had to be made from four pieces of plywood, two for the sides and two for the shelves. The relative had explained to Dad how he made his shelf, so naturally I needed the same materials and a plan to follow. The obliging student teacher borrowed the shelf plans and procured plywood and a coping saw from the school's woodworking shop. Our kindergarten had a workbench with a vise for sawing wood. Tracing the patterns and cutting the boards myself was challenging. I went through numerous saw blades, breaking them by cutting them too fast or twisting them in the wood. I learned to saw slowly and steadily to avoid snapping blades. Soon Christmas passed, then Dad's February birthday, with the shelf still nowhere near complete. I remember classmate Jim Wiesner, the tallest and fastest boy, confidently declaring I would never finish. Undaunted, I replied that maybe I wouldn't, but I also wouldn't give up. Finally, by Mother's Day in May, the shelf was done. Once I finished cutting the pieces, the teacher had them assembled in the wood shop, then provided stain and varnish for me to finish it. She noted in my report card that it was hard work, but worth the effort. To me and my parents, it was beautiful. From then on, my mom always proudly displayed that shelf in the living room or dining room of every home she lived in. The corner shelf taught me a lifelong lesson about the importance of persistence. That resolve has stayed with me ever since, sometimes strongly, sometimes less so, but always present.
Writer John Klugness of Bayfield brought us that story on his 90-year-old corner shelf. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And finally, let's get a check of your forecast before letting you go for the day. Mostly cloudy across the state today with some pockets of rain from western to southern Wisconsin. High temperatures topping out in the 60s today. Overnight, rain is likely in the southern half of the state, tapering off as the night goes on. Otherwise cloudy with lows into the 40s and 50s. And that'll do it for this Wednesday. Thanks for being here for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Bridget Bowden. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.